You're getting free. Free admission with military ID. Louisiana Fun, Sugartown Suite, Beauregard Watermelon Festival. Thursday through Saturday, June 23rd, 24th, 25th at the Beauregard Parish Fairgrounds, DeRidder. Visit LouisianaTravel.com to plan your visit today.
Welcome to the Slow Money Show, presented by Faulberg Private Wealth. Our mission is to provide listeners with the critical ingredient to financial success, knowledge. Knowledge will empower you to distill good financial advice from bad, whether you are investing your own money or working with an advisor. Investment knowledge should not just reside on Wall Street, but it should be widely disseminated to everyone who invests, big or small. ARK Asset Management's Chief Investment Officer Jean-Paul Lagarde and Director of Research and Senior Portfolio Manager Michael Thomas discuss markets daily as they manage assets for Advisor Resource Council's network of investment advisors across the country, including Faulberg Private Wealth Advisors in the Gulf South. By sharing some of these conversations with listeners, we hope to play a small part in enhancing your financial acumen.
And welcome to the Slow Money Show, presented by Faulberg Private Wealth. This is your host, Jean-Paul Lagarde. We have Michael Thomas, Director of Research and Senior Portfolio Manager of ARK Asset Management, which is the asset management arm of Advisor Resource Council, a national RIA, of which Faulberg Private Wealth is the local affiliate. I serve as Chief Investment Officer. And again, the premise behind the Slow Money Show is to give listeners a window into the conversations that Michael and I have on a daily basis as we manage money for the advisors across the country and their clients by extension. And to give listeners a window into these conversations in hopes that our big mission is to educate the general public about investing, and hopefully it'll empower our listeners to have more in-depth conversations with their financial advisors, or if they are managing money on their own, their assets on their own, to empower or to make them make listeners more effective in that pursuit. So, Michael, for this June 13th, we have a lot going on. There is a sea of red on the screen. As, for example, the S&P is down 3.2% as we speak. The NASDAQ's down 4%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 2.3%. Uncertainty up across the board. And the topic du jour stems from the economic data, and a key piece of economic data that came out last week, last Friday, to be specific. And that was a measure of inflation known as the Consumer Price Index, or the CPI. And to give listeners that data, the CPI on a month-over-month basis for the month of May was up 1%, while analysts were expecting a 0.7% increase. The CPI, when you strip out the more volatile food and energy prices, and we all know what energy volatility looks like, the CPI ex food and energy was up 6%, on a month-over-month basis. It was up 0.6%, while analysts were expecting 0.5%. Let me give you the year-over-year numbers. CPI year-over-year up 8.6%. Analysts were expecting 8.3%. And on ex-food and energy, up 6% versus analysts 5.9%. So CPI hotter than expected on a month-over-month and a year-over-year basis. And then everything changed. And I before we comment on that, the market had been acting better, and Michael, correct me if you think I'm wrong, because in the Fed minutes from the last meeting, there was one governor that suggested that the Fed might be on a hold or a pause in terms of raising interest rates. While after the minutes came out, another Fed governor said, oh no, maybe we should not pause. But this pretty much seals it with the CPI data that came out Friday being higher than expected, that a pause is off the table. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. No pause.
Yeah.
No pause expected for sure. In fact, the future,
to the contrary,
expecting exactly the opposite. It's talking about the Fed being far more aggressive over the next few months versus less aggressive. And so, I think that's, any talk of pause is certainly gone. Mm-hmm. I would expect the commentary is going to be more about, 75 basis points or in the near term and 50 basis points in September versus, 25, which was probably what most people are expecting, with, again, the one governor. It was only one that had mentioned maybe a pause, but you know, a lot of thought maybe it might step down from 50 to 25.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the last show, I commented that I liked, or I was keying in on the February 2023 implied policy rate as sort of a metric of, you know, what would the terminal value be in terms of the interest rate increases. And, you know, I was basically saying that, oh, look, you know, we're at 3.1%. That's kind of where, you know, it had come up to that number at the beginning of May, then it had come down to close to 2.75, and it was just crossing the 3% line again, essentially, at the time of the last show. And currently we are at 3.69 in terms of a rate for February 23. And that again is Fed Fund futures. So holy cow. I mean, that is two plus moves essentially, or more than, you know, it's nearly a 75 basis point hike. It's at 70 practically. That's a big repricing of the terminal rate.
Right. And you've seen that across the curve, the you know, early part of the curve is
right.
The reality is, you know, I think that a lot of market participants were talking about that neutral rate, and a lot of the Fed members are talking about that neutral rate being right around 3% going toward neutral. So, you know, rates were starting to hover around 3%. Now you are hearing way more discussion, at least in the public, an investor. You're not hearing anything from the Federal Reserve right now because they're in a blackout period ahead
right.
of their meeting this week. But, you know, I think you're hearing way more thoughts that you got to go well beyond neutral. And of course, there is that neutral being where policy is neither accommodative or restrictive, meaning it's kind of that Goldilocks area where policy is out of the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a very theoretical number. There's no real good answer for that, but most think it's around 3%. But now you're starting to talk about 4% where rates are going to go to really stamp down this bout of inflation, at least in the market expectations. We don't know what the Federal Reserve is thinking on that from that point. And we'll get a little more color on that on Wednesday. But for now, I think that that's what's being priced in. And you can see that again in your February Fed funds at 3.7. And, you know, if you kind of look at a longer term view in quotes, you know, you've got the 2 year running at, you know, 3.25 now, 3.26. You know, you can see that rates have come up a lot too, just to give a sense. I think it was, if I remember right, it was like 2.75 or 2.8 when we did the show last week. So mm-hmm. You can see how much the near-term rates are being priced higher, just given just the persistence of the inflation, which was a little bit surprising, honestly, that, you know, I think everybody knew the inflation is running hotter than what estimates were out there. But, you know, just the magnitude of the move and the underlying strength even beyond, you know, food and energy, I think is what's really gotten people concerned.
Yeah, the services part.
The services. You're definitely seeing that switch to services, exactly.
Yeah.
And just if you even take out the inflation from food and energy, right, which are obviously big drivers of the inflation right now, as you said, you know, the inflation on the headline inflation is 8.6 and the core is 6. So, you know, that 2.6% is a big chunk of that volatility. But you also, if you take out housing and you take out those pieces, you still are up, you know, above 5%. And if you take out, you know, shelter and even I think it took out used car vehicles because that's a high number.
Mm-hmm.
You were still over 5% based on some data I looked at. So,
yeah, you know actually, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, there was an article.
I was just saying core inflation is still there.
Yeah. I read an interesting piece last week that talked about how the actual calculation of the CPI has changed materially over the decades. And the Fed actually did this study where they said, okay, well, let's go ahead and re-rate, you know, the inflation today versus the big inflation that we saw in the 70s and 80s, et cetera. And they basically normalized the methodology. And the crux of it was we are seeing the same type of inflation that we saw back during that huge stagflationary period, because the only difference numerically is because they changed the formula. If you make the formula the same, it is largely the same type of thing that the Fed is trying to fight.
Right. And I think that that's the reality that people know, you know, people who actually buy things, that you may not be the same people, but you can feel it. And the inflation is real to, you know, individuals who are out there. And you can see that in the surveys, the University of Michigan, the New York Fed's conference, confidence index. You can see the numbers that you know, people who are out there buying stuff know that things are a lot more expensive. And all you have to do is go by the gas station.
Right. Right. And I want to unpack that for the next segment. That's a great thing that we can dive into next. You're listening to The Slow Money Show, presented by Faubourg Private Wealth. This is your host, Jean-Paul Lagarde. We'll be back with Michael Thomas after the break.
Located at the Frenchman Hotel, Midnight Revival pairs live music with an exciting beverage program. Our new spot on Frenchman Street offers classic cocktails, but it's the tropical libations that will keep you coming back. Midnight Revival even has our own take on the hurricane called the Champion of the World, made with passion fruit liqueur and a blood orange puree. Visit Midnight Revival at 417 Frenchman Street, follow Midnight Revival NOLA on social media, or visit midnightrevival.com for the latest updates on sips and sounds that await.
Tom Fitzmaurice here with the Edible Dictionary Word of the Day, brought to you by Dornex, just voted one of the Food and Wine Magazine's top 20 regional supermarkets of all time. Today's Edible Dictionary Word is
fancy poached egg dishes. Most of the egg creations on Brennan's menu were French classics revived by Chef Paul Blanger, the original chef there. It shortly became clear that the ones people liked most were poached eggs, which few restaurants offered in the 40s. Set atop some flavorful food like ham, crab meat, cream spinach, and covered with hollandaise. From that came the endless variations we find today in any restaurant that serves Sunday brunch. The restaurants love such dishes. Few menu items carry as low a food cost percentage as do eggs.
Join us for the Food Show every weekday right here on WGSO, 2 to 4. See you then.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Hi, this is Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies. Listen every Sunday at 8 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM, the community voice of the Crescent City.
You are my sunshine.
Hi, I'm Big John Mason. Did you know that Governor Jimmy Davis loved Louisiana so much he gave us our state's official song, You Are My Sunshine? If you love Louisiana and you enjoy cutting-edge news and political commentary, then please listen to the Big John Mason Show, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m., broadcasting live from WGSO 990 AM in the heart of New Orleans.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump Day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
Wednesdays at 5.
Here on WGSO.
Enjoy your next happy hour with Roz and the Rocks. Fridays at 1 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM.
And welcome back to the Slow Money Show, presented by Faubourg Private Wealth. This is your host, Jean-Paul Lagarde, joined by Michael Thomas of ARK Asset Management. Michael, in the last segment, you left off with the University of Michigan Confidence Survey. I want to unpack this idea that, you know, if you look at the consumer confidence, they're awful readings, like awful readings, recessionary type of readings. However, people are still spending. Do you think it's that they're just complaining through the surveys? Like, what do you think is the deal here with awful, consumer confidence numbers? However, spending remains robust.
Well, I think it's always better to watch what people do than what they say.
Yes.
You know, I've always felt that way around investor confidence. You see, you know, oh, bearish, but stock's going up. That doesn't tell you that people are that bearish, right? And what does it usually tell you? Fear of missing out, right? That FOMO, which I'm not good at acronyms, ticking, but right. I haven't seen that one come across enough that I got that one down. But I think you have a little bit of that going on right now with the consumer too, right? You have a situation where I haven't gone out in 2 years. I need to go on vacation and I'm going to do that. And the reality is I still have a bunch of money in my savings account, even if I'm not making as much money as the inflation rates. And I'm really concerned because I see prices going up and that bugs me, but I'm still going to spend the money.
Right.
I'm going to go to the restaurant. I am going to go on vacation. I am going to live my life this summer. Now, my question, and the reality is, you know, over time, the University of Michigan Confidence Index is a lousy indicator of near-term spend. If you go over the course of history, it just doesn't correlate very well near-term. Over time, there's a better correlation. And so the question is whether or not people are like, yeah, I don't like this, but I'm going on vacation because I already had it planned, or because I'm doing it because of what we've been through the last couple of years. But what's the spend going to look like in September and October when we come back from our summer vacations that we haven't had? And if inflation is still high and, you know, maybe the economy started to slow a little bit more and you're starting to see more layoffs, you know, what's going to happen to spend at that point in time?
Yeah.
I think the reality is, I think many of us in the investment business, look forward and look at numbers and say, well, this is what's going to happen, and forget. I know I'm guilty of this. I say, okay, this is the clear outcome, so clearly it's going to happen tomorrow. Well, it doesn't happen tomorrow. Life moves slower than that. People make changes differently than that. And so while I may be concerned about the future, I'm not necessarily going to change my current habits until I get forced to change my current
right,
habits.
Right, right.
And so I think that's probably what we're seeing a little of here.
Yeah, and we always talk about how the fact that markets are forward-looking. The question is it forward-looking to tomorrow or is it forward-looking to 12 months from now? And, you know, what's interesting is that I have the S&P 500 subsectors up and I'm looking at month-to-date performance and we're only 13 days into the month of June. And airlines, the S&P Airlines airline index is down 20.25%. That's the biggest decline across all of the groups, industry groups. Interesting, right?
Despite the fact that if you listen to the CEOs of the airlines or the travel companies, they're all saying record bookings, everything looks great,
right.
Pricing is good.
It smells like peak.
Right. And I think that's exactly what's being told to you. You know, there is a very the inflation is the concern data point that's coming out right now.
Yeah.
But recession is the real concern by the markets.
Yeah.
Right. So it's what is the Federal Reserve going to have to do to get inflation under control? Well, you know, we've said often that the Federal Reserve needs to break something in order to get inflation under control.
Right.
What are they going to break? We don't know. And how aggressive they are is going to depend on how much they break it.
Well, and that's why Friday's CPI print was so important, because that changed the landscape. I mean, I feel like, and we talked about this early this morning, you know, I feel like it's a giant game of chicken between the Fed and the market, the Fed and the economy, the Fed and consumers, right? Because the Fed has said 1,000 times that they cannot fix supply chain issues. They cannot fix the supply side of the economy. The only thing that they can do is moderate demand, i.e. slow the economy. So if they have raised interest rates by, you know, the amount that we all know they've raised interest rates, the amount that they have, right? But it's still not panning out. So they are going to have to do more. And that's exactly what's getting priced into Fed fund futures. And with the print that we saw, you know, and this transition to the services economy, higher the amount of the services economy, the more likely you get that wage price spiral. You know, the Fed is definitely, you know, experiencing heightened, their level of anxiety is definitely higher post Friday, I would say.
The Federal Reserve.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes, I agree with that. And I don't know if it's just, the CPI number in and of itself that does that. But I just think the persistence of the inflation overall, if you look, it wasn't that far off of economist expectations. And as I said earlier, going into the print, I think everybody expected an upside surprise. It's just the breadth of the inflationary components. And what I think will worry the Fed more than anything is the increasing expectation for inflation. I think they're going to worry the most about that piece of it. So if investors expect it, if companies expect it, if consumers expect it, it becomes much more ingrained in the mentality of everyone. And then it's harder to stop. And I think that's what the Fed will key on. They have, you've heard Chairman Powell especially talk about anchoring the inflation expectations, and they've been pretty well anchored overall. But you've seen them moving up recently. You saw them move up on Friday's print, and so I think that's where people are focused. I think the investors are definitely been more and more concerned that the Fed is behind the curve, which I think you can't, it'd be hard to argue that they're not. And so, what do they do to get back to catch up on those expectations? That's what I think the markets are starting to suggest. They're going to have to be super aggressive. And I still think 50 basis points is the number we'll see on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, on Wednesday. But, I saw two investment banks move it to 75. I've seen a couple of people interviewed that said they could even go with 100 basis points on
Wednesday. Yeah, that would freak the market out, though. I really do.
Honestly, exactly. I think that would be worse. Personally, I think that would show that the Fed is panicking. I don't think that would make anybody feel better.
No. We're still trying to land the plane. The runway is probably getting shorter and there are no flaps. I get that. But I think it would freak the market out. And I want to key in on what you just said, measures of inflation. There's many ways that you and I have talked about inflation expectations on this show. I have a chart, Bloomberg chart, of inflation swaps for the 1, 2 year and 5 year, all pretty much making new highs except for the 5 year. I'll just read it out. 1 year swap at 5.95. The 2 year swap at 4.7 and the 5 year swap at 3.4. So, at least from the swap perspective, inflation expectations are going up. Let's take a look real quick at the Fed 5 year inflation rate, which is another measure. That one's updated. Let me not use that one because that's not updated as frequently. What else would you say? We could look at break-evens.
Yeah, I mean, break-evens will give you probably a similar sense.
Now, break-evens being the difference between the nominal rate, as everybody, if you say the 10-year treasuries at this particular rate, which is 3 points, what's today's, hold on, got to pull that up.
What are you looking at, the
10-year treasury today?
So you're at 335.
Okay. And then what
by the way, if you look at the 30, it's at 335 too. So that tells you where we're at. Very flat
yield curve. Yep. So then we take the nominal rate and we subtract the real rate, which we derive off the TIPS instruments, because those are real interest rates, so that because the value of the instrument itself is moves up and down with inflation.
Craft beer is booming, and we're here to share the good word about our favorite beverage. We're the Beer Guys, and we're bringing you the best and the latest from the world of craft beer. Join us to get the scoop on the new brews, crafty news, and interviews with the amazing people of craft beer. We'll hear stories from breweries across the country, what they're brewing, their take on trends, plus the art and science that goes into making a great craft beer. Join us every week, Beer Guys Radio, Saturday at 8 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
Join me, Mitch Gibbs, every Monday from noon to 1 p.m. at lunchtime, live on WGSO Radio 990 AM, where we'll talk Pelicans basketball, LSU basketball, and UNO basketball with great guests, great interviews. So join me every Monday, noon to 1 p.m. live, WGSO Radio, for another brand new season of In the Paint.
More and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
God, guts, glory, and guns. They're what makes America great. Tune in to WGSO at 8 p.m. on Monday nights. Holy and patriotic jambalaya with the flaming conservative.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. A ruling from a federal appeals court could force state lawmakers to approve a congressional map with two black majority districts. Jeff Palermo has that.
The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals refused to issue a permanent delay on an order from a federal judge that the Louisiana legislature must redraw a map that has two majority black districts. So that order issued by Judge Shelley Dick for a new map by June 20th is in effect, and lawmakers are set to begin a special session on Wednesday. It remains to be seen what Republican lawmakers will do. They may wait on a ruling from the Fifth Circuit on the merits of the case, but it's unclear when that may happen. I'm Jeff Palermo.
In New Orleans, a horse pulling a funeral wagon late last week collapsed and died shortly afterward. A necropsy is scheduled for the beloved animal, but the Humane Society says heat exhaustion is the likely cause. Temperatures exceeded 90 that day. A jazz funeral for the horse is scheduled as well. I'm Kevin Gallagher. This is news from LRN.
Tiger Rag, three-time Home Depot Coach of the Year, two-time AP College Football Coach of the Year, 11 seasons at Notre Dame, two college football playoff appearances, and now the head coach of the LSU Tigers, Brian Kelly. Brian
Kelly. What the fadizzle?
I know LSU fans will love Brian
Kelly.
I'm
excited.
Success follows him everywhere he goes. All he does is win.
Winningest coach in Notre Dame history.
Tiger Rag Magazine will be there as LSU ushers in a new era on the gridiron.
He wants to win a championship.
His plan to take this program to the next level.
I want to be
the same as ours.
Under the bright lights.
Not here to taste success.
I want to be.
He's here to sustain.
On the Broadway stage.
Shows where LSU is as a program right now.
We have a lot of talent and a lot of talent coming in.
Super excited.
I want the fans here early, tailgating and having a great time and filling the stadium and being enthusiastic.
Find Tiger Rag on newsstands and online at TigerRag.com.
Hey, y'all, the Beat Exchange has a new time slot. Mondays at 7 p.m. on WGSO, 990 a.m. in New Orleans. The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover.
Hi, I'm Roz. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. for Roz and the Rocks, where we will mix it all up with cocktails and conversation with area persons of interest. Stay in the know as we discuss upcoming events, personal stories, cocktail recipes, and shake-up drinks, all during our Thirsty Thursday show, Roz and the Rocks at 1 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Tim McNally, host of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Every weekday
from 4 until 5
on WGSO 990 AM. This is where we started. This is our home. We're going to bring you news of the wine world, interviews with winemakers. We're going to talk to people who know something about wine. We hope you'll join us.
The Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Every weekday
from 4 until 5
from the heart of the Crescent.
Join me, BJ Rust, every weekday at 6 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show. We'll talk sports, music, current events, everything in between. That's weekdays, 6 p.m. only on WGSO 990 AM.
Dave, get up.
Huh? What?
Get up.
Why are you waking me up?
It's 8:30 a.m. We got a show on Everything Old is New Again. Our show is on the air at 9 a.m. this morning and every Saturday morning.
Oh, you mean it changed from 1 p.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yeah, WGSO 990 a.m. They would like us to wake up New Orleans every Saturday morning with Everything Old is New Again at 9 a.m. Come on, let's go.
All right, here we go.
Come on, you don't have to take a shower. Don't need anything. We'll do it on the air. Don't worry. All right, we'll be here. Everything Old is New Again. 9 o'clock Saturdays.
Welcome back to the Slow Money Show, presented by Fallbrook Private Wealth. This is your host, Jean-Paul Lagarde, continuing our conversation with Michael Thomas. Michael, you were just commenting on how flat the yield curve is, which is a whole other topic that we can get into.
Honestly, the 10 and the 30 are at 3.356 right this second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right
They're
now.
Both at the same, although 30 just ticked up. Oh, no. The 10 just ticked up with it. So, you know, it's about as flat as you can get from 10 to 30. So.
Right, right. It's actually crazy.
Down from the 3-year at 3.45. So that gives you an inversion of the curve. Which says certain things we could talk about in a second.
So we looked at inflation swaps in the last segment, and I promised everybody that we would look at break evens, which again was the nominal rate, which is what we just are speaking of, 10-year and 30-year within a basis point of each other, which is crazy. And again, flat yield curve. And then we subtract out the yield coming from the TIPS instrument, and we're left with a break even, which that is used by Treasury watchers as a measure of inflation expectations. And some of these numbers are going to sound very similar to what I just called out in the last segment. The 5-year break even at 3.15%, the 2-year break even at 4.4%, and the 1-year break even at 5.6%. So again, this is just another measure. Market measure of inflation expectations, and they again are trending higher
over the course of that period of time. So you can see that the 1 year is much higher than the 5 year because people do expect inflation to come down. Mm-hmm. But still, if you're talking, what did you say the 5 year was at?
3.15
would be well above the Fed's, you know, 2% long-term goal, right?
Sure.
And so that's in line where people are starting to get concerned. Even though the Fed has said we can run it a little hot because we didn't run inflation high enough for the last 30 years,
right?
Give or take 20 to 30 years, right? It's been below our 2% goal, so we need to run a little warmer. That's okay. And so, you know, over this whole period of time during the reflation and now inflation, you know, post pandemic, you've seen that these numbers have been higher than the 2% that the Fed would target, but it's been more like 2.5 over 10 years. And now it's starting to drift higher. And that's what's going to get the Fed concerned, because they are worried about the stability of the economy that is undermined, and the stability of employment, which is their other mandate, is also undermined by high inflation, right? If you start to get concerned about your business and your profits, are you going to hire more people or not? You're probably not, right? And so that, I think, is where the Fed is going to start to get concerned if this is sustained. And so I think that's where the market is starting to anticipate that the Fed might get more aggressive than, you know, Chairman Powell, who does admire former Chairman Volcker, who, you know, famously
the inflation killer
killed inflation and created a massive bull market in bonds for 40 years.
Right.
But, you know, he did take interest rates up into the high teens, right?
Right.
Just like put that in your head versus 3%, right? That you obviously wouldn't have to do that same thing to do that in this situation or you don't have the same embedded inflation, you don't have the same economy as we did then. But
right. And you don't have the same demographic tailwind as well with the boomer generation, et cetera.
Correct. And so if you saw, you know, but that's why some are suggesting you could see 100 basis points tomorrow or Wednesday, because it would be like, okay, I understand. We got this. You know, we are fighting inflation. That would be the messaging. I don't think that this Federal Reserve would do that.
Yeah.
You know, there is a credibility issue. They have already told us they're going to raise interest rates 50 basis points on Wednesday and 50 basis points again in July. They already said that.
I think it would diminish their ability to draw up into the future.
I think that's correct. And I also think, and this is, you know, pure speculation on my part. I do believe, even though they've retired the word transitory, I still believe that inside the Fed, they think inflation is transitory.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's temporary, not a couple of months. And I think it's lasted way longer than most people thought, yeah, myself included. I think that the Fed believes that it is transitory, and that if they can just slow wages down now, which there is some signs that they're able to do that, they can at least deal with a mild recession. To me, a recession, or at least an earnings recession, is
it's baked in. It's
almost
happen.
Inevitable, yeah. Right? Yeah. At this point, you know, maybe it's GDP recession, and earnings aren't as bad because the S&P 500 holds up. But if you look at profits across GDP, across the economy, I think we are. I don't see how it's avoidable.
But what if spending remains elevated even in a mild recession? The Fed's got a problem if that's the case.
And it probably does. And the reason is, the realities of wealth distribution are problematic in this case. So the only way to get the wealthy to slow their spending, which is what's driving most of the services,
have a down market. You have to have down real estate.
Have your stock market come down 20%. Okay, check. We're now 20% on off the highs, right? And then have your housing market start to slow, right? No check there. So what do we have to do? We have to raise mortgage rates. We have to, slow some confidence, get people to stop bidding having 30 bidders for the same house. Right. You know, I think you're definitely already starting to see that in terms of the housing numbers, et cetera. But, you know, at least where I live, I'm still watching my houses go up a lot. And, you know, nationwide, they still came up a lot in May.
I just pulled up Bloomberg's bank rate, 30-year mortgage fixed. Today, and it's showing 5.78%. It's pretty crazy.
That's pretty high, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, I bought my, I can remember, I think it was my first, maybe it was my second house that I bought. And this would have been back in the 1990s, but I had an 8% mortgage.
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, in my history, even of buying houses, it's not that high. But it is relative to what we've been used to since
it hasn't been this high since 08.
Yeah, right. Since the housing crash, exactly. Right. So that's something to be thoughtful of, right? So how do we keep spending down? We break something.
You got to tighten
financial conditions, yes, right? Yes. And that's on everyone.
Guess what I have on my screen right now?
Do you happen to have financial conditions?
I do.
Where are they?
Well, the Goldman Sachs measure of financial conditions is at a new high, which means they are tighter. Because, you know, some financial conditions in indices, you know, the higher it is, the tighter the conditions are, and vice versa. But we're at new tightness levels, according to Goldman Sachs.
And that's what the Federal Reserve needs to do in order to slow the economy.
Right.
And then, you know, the other thing you get out of this, right, is especially if stocks start going down, there's uncertainty. Not only do you slow the wealthy individuals, but you start to get CEOs to think differently and CFOs to think differently, right?
Right.
And again, you're seeing those numbers come out. We did touch on this last time in terms of the plummeting consumer or CEO confidence and the plummeting CFO confidence. And those actually have a better track record of influencing spend than the University of Michigan consumer confidence numbers. Because, you know, if a CEO says, I am more worried, then they are going to tighten budgets. And that's just the way that's going to happen. And that slows the economy too. So that the Fed, in my mind, wants the stock market to go down.
Right.
To a certain extent. And then the Fed put kicks back in
right?
Because they don't want it to go too far.
Right. Just enough to slow spending.
Right.
And investment.
And hiring.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. Lots more coming up. You're listening, to the Slow Money Show presented by Fallbrook Private Wealth. This is Michael Thomas and Jean-Paul Lagarde. We'll be back in just a moment.
The next time you're on Frenchman Street, let the sound of live music lead you to Midnight Revival, where the night is always young. Find your spot at the bar or by the stage with your new favorite drink in hand. Live music that pairs perfectly with our lineup of tropical drinks and classic New Orleans cocktails. See what's on the menu at midnightrevival.com. Find out who's playing by following us on Instagram at Midnight Revival NOLA. Find us at 417 Frenchman Street in the Frenchman Hotel, and we'll see you soon for some sips and sounds.
At Grace at the Green Light, we believe that everyone deserves a hot meal, a welcoming community, and the chance to go home again. Every month, our Meals with Love program feeds thousands of homeless New Orleanians, while our Going Home initiative sends people who are homeless here home to loved ones across the country. You can help create a new home and hope for those who need it most. To see how, visit our website at www.graceatthegreenlight.org.
Hi, this is Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies. Listen every Sunday at 8 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM, the community voice of the Crescent City.
You are my sunshine.
This is Big John Mason. Please listen to the Big John Mason Show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 p.m. to 2 on WGSO 990 AM.
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
Hey, all, Brian Diaz here, host of the NOLA Drink Show. Kick off your weekend happy hour with me every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Slow Money Show, presented by Fallbrook Private Wealth. This is your host, Jean-Paul Lagarde, continuing our conversation with Michael Thomas of ARK Asset Management. So, Michael, we've talked about the inflation print, the Fed, why we're having so much turbulence in markets. And again, it's this game of chicken where the Fed has to tighten financial conditions. The market's obviously responding to that. Let me just fill listeners in into what is happening. You know, if we look at the Barclays aggregate bond index, which a lot of fixed income portfolios are built around, you know, the year-to-date decline is 10.7%. Right now, the S&P is down 20.8% year-to-date. The Dow is down 15.5%. The NASDAQ 100, not the comp, is down, the broader NASDAQ is down 30%. So clearly lots of market volatility. Let's take a look at volatility indices. These are based on the price of options that investors are willing to pay. How much of a premium are investors willing to pay for protection? And so I can tell you that the VIX, which is the 30-day volatility index, implied volatility index of the S&P, is up, what are we up, 19% today. We are up 38% over the last 3 days, and we're up 60% over the past 6 months. So, you know, volatility for the S&P, for the NASDAQ, we have volatility is higher by 16% today. For the Russell, it's up 16% as well. So, but implied volatility is higher across the board for many asset classes, the vast majority of the ones that I'm tracking, except for oil. Well, actually, that one has not updated yet. So anyhow, uncertainty higher across the board in all of the indices. So,
helping listeners understand why that matters.
Well, I mean, it matters because so we use volatility indices as a measure of investor angst, because if implied volatility goes through the roof, and you can help determine, you know, is this capitulation? Is this, you know, the baby getting thrown out with the bathwater? Are we at peak pessimism? And when we see that, we'll see puts, which are instruments that protect against a decline, versus calls, which are instruments that help you profit as something goes up. You'll see puts outnumber calls dramatically. You'll see implied volatility, like I'm just talking about, and investor uncertainty, you know, climb to you know, it'll climb parabolically, actually. You'll see in your world, Michael, credit spreads blow out, which means that the bond, the premium that investors are demanding for you know, when they buy bonds relative to treasuries, you know, is increasing as well. So, I mean, we're using many different data points to conjure an idea of, you know, is this capitulation, how investors are feeling. And we match that with investor confidence surveys, et cetera, and the earnings outlook. And we look at it all to try to determine, you know, is this the bottom, or is this just, I don't see capitulation here. Today's trading activity is actually not that heavy. You know, Warren Buffett had the famous quote that says the market is like the voting machine. And if you have tremendous volume on a given day, that's a pretty fair price. And so if you have a situation where the market's been declining for days or weeks at a time, and then you have massive volume on a down day, you can pretty much come up to with the idea that, hey, you know, the market is fairly valued at this point. Maybe this is the bottom. Michael, would you like to add anything to that?
I mean, I think that last part sums it up really well. But I'll piggyback a little bit on your comments on spreads and just where you're starting to see risk off. For the first time this year to date, over the last week, the Treasury index is outperforming high yield. So up until basically last week, and I don't know which day it switched, but when we did the show last week, high yield was still outperforming Treasuries, if I remember correctly, at least it was 2 weeks ago.
Is it total return, or is it talking about spread?
I'm talking returns.
Okay.
So treasuries, this is by the way, not good, because treasuries are down 9.9%. And mm-hmm. So if that's your risk-free asset, that doesn't feel too good. But they're down 9.9% year to date.
Right.
We're intraday, by the way, we're intraday on the 13th, on Monday the 13th. Mm-hmm. But high yield's down 10.5%, which is better than the aggregate index, which you mentioned earlier. And so, you know, I just think, you know, that move to safety is starting to happen and moving away from high yield. High yield had been held up better because it had lower duration, meaning it didn't, you know, mature as long. So it's less hurt by interest rate moves. But now people are starting to worry more about the credit side. And so you've seen credit spreads move up significantly over the last couple of weeks. Now, I would also tell you that in mid-May, credit spreads were much higher, not much higher, but they were higher in mid-May. And so they fell, you know, spreads came down. We had this little bear market rally, the markets went up, started to look like value or growth was coming back. And it was really just a counterton rally, which happens often, right? And I think we mentioned that even last week. And so now you have a situation where the spreads have come back up, your CDS's
credit default swaps,
mm-hmm. which are ways to hedge out credit risk, those have been moving higher steadily. And so that I watch a little bit more, because from a risk perspective, because it's less influenced by the underlying interest rates. And that's more just again, that fear in the SIG.
Yeah, it's a, yeah, exactly. Kind of like equity market volatility indices that I just mentioned.
Correct. And so those are all moving higher. So there's clearly more concern now than there was. But at the same time, there is nothing to suggest in that we're way out of normal from this perspective. Even the 20% decrease in the stock market, while certainly not fun to deal with, it's not out of the realm of normal when you go through such a tough period. Now, I think we were a little inflated because of all the government stimulus and the Federal Reserve stimulus. And so, you know, maybe it's a little harsher than a normal correction,
right?
Because we were probably a little too high. So at this point, there's not like panic in the markets, even though it looks bad. And if you looked at your 401k at the end of last year and you looked at it today, you wouldn't feel so good about life. But if you worked at it 2 years ago, you wouldn't feel that bad.
Yeah.
But if you think about it that way.
Mike, I want to add, you know, months ago on the show, we were talking about how we thought that earnings expectations for this year needed to come down because the prospect of a slowing economy, and that has come to fruition. But I also think it's a story of multiple compression as well. And talk just for a second what that is based on the fact that yields and real rates are higher.
Well, you know, so the value of time value of money, right, is your discount rate is where that comes from, right? And so if interest rates are higher and you have a couple of different, the value of money, in essence, goes down, just to make it easy. So the farther out you get the money, you know, you have to discount it at a higher rate, it's worth less. Just very, very high level.
Right.
So you have the components. So higher interest rates tends to lead to lower multiples in the stock market. So that's part of it. What you have not seen yet is estimates come down. The estimates have been very steady to even climbing a little across 2022, 23, 24 in terms of earnings estimates in the S&P 500. At least you might see it coming out in other areas, but that's what I found interesting is that even in the out years, you're not seeing any come down in analyst expectations. I see risk to that. Just given the US dollar going up, taking Microsoft's estimates down
right. The
other day, right?
Right?
And they said, there's nothing wrong with our business at all. The US dollar is just up a lot. And so that's going to discount our earnings. Well, we didn't really see that come down. But then you also have Target say, hey, you know what? We have way, way, way too much stuff. We're going to give it away. And our earnings are going to come down a lot. And that didn't seem to filter through the rest
earnings estimates.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I would be very suspect that about our estimates. You know, obviously we only have, I mean, we have still three quarters to go this year of reported results, but next year. And so I'm still hesitant in earnings estimates, but I do think the market is pricing in some of that. It is down 20%.
Lower estimates and a lower multiple is even lower stock prices. And yes, we're probably seeing some of it, but how far does it go is the $1 trillion question.
And it is the $1 trillion question. Certainly we'll be watching as we go through this upcoming earnings period.
Well, we are unfortunately out of time. You're listening to the Slow Money Show presented by Fallbrook Private Wealth. This is your host, Jean-Paul Lagarde, speaking with Michael Thomas of ARK Asset Management. We will see you next week.
The opinions in the show are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations.
It's Jeff Cruer, host of Ringside Politics. I'd like to introduce WGSO General Manager, Marianne Guzman.
WGSO is locally owned and operated right here in New Orleans. We believe in cultivating local talent and emphasize local programs. If you have an interest in hosting your own program, then we have some prime spots available.
Thanks, Marianne. Folks, take advantage of this great offer. Email me at jeff@wgso.com or call me at 504-669-6076. Come fulfill your radio dreams at WGSO.
Does your business need to boost sales or drive customer loyalty? Talk to Sir Speedy. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. All you have to do is share your goals with us and we can do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us. Call Sir Speedy at 504-586-9812 or visit us online at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com. That's 504-586-9812. We do it.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
American Ground Radio is headed to New Orleans. The Big Easy, the Crescent City, the birthplace of jazz. New Orleans, y'all. Every day, more and more Americans are listening on American Ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr on 990 AM WGSO.
Anytime, anywhere. Smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, WGSO.com. On the AM dial at 990, we are WGSO New Orleans.
USA Radio News, I'm Victor Paul. The average price of a gallon of gas hit the $5 mark for the first time ever. Before departing from Andrews Air Force Base, President Biden was asked for his response as we head into the summer months.
It's outrageous what the war in Ukraine is causing. And we're trying very hard to make sure that we've significantly increased the number of barrels of oil that are being pumped out of the reserve we have. We've got 240,000 barrels as well coming from other nations. We're going to keep pushing on it.
The national average price has jumped 19 cents in just the past week, and it is up $1.93 from this time last year. The president of the Brookings Institution resigned Sunday amid a federal investigation into whether he illegally lobbied on behalf of the wealthy Persian Gulf nation of Qatar. This is USA Radio News.
Here's the deal. I've had constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating for years. I've tried a lot of laxatives and fiber supplements, but my symptoms keep coming back.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Senate bargainers on Sunday announced the framework of a bipartisan response to last month's mass shootings, a limited breakthrough offering modest gun curbs, and stepped up efforts to improve school safety and mental health programs. The Associated Press reports that the proposal falls far short of tougher steps long sought by President Biden and many Democrats. Even so, the accord was embraced by Biden, and enactment would signal a significant turnabout after years of gun massacres that have produced little but stalemate in Congress. Brazil's search for an indigenous expert and a journalist who disappeared in an uneasy area of the Amazon a week ago has advanced with a discovery of a backpack, laptop, and other personal belongings submerged in a river. The items were found Sunday afternoon and were carried by federal police officers by boat to Italia do Norte, the closest city to the search. In a statement Sunday night, police said they had identified the items as belonging to both men. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot. If you like my radio show, you're going to love my podcast, War Raw. Each podcast, I present my top 10 most outrageous, salacious, and controversial stories of the week. I break down the best of the best raw truth stories for conservatives, libertarians, patriots, taxpayers, Trumpers, and deplorables. Anyone who appreciates God, guns, gold, and tax cuts will stand up and cheer for War Raw. Check out this week's War Raw podcast right now. It's available to download on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts. War Raw.
War Raw.
Monday marks the second day of public hearings for the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The committee will focus on establishing that then-President Trump knowingly spread lies about the 2020 election that inspired his supporters to lay siege to the Capitol. The panel is seeking to build on its primetime presentation last week of never-before-seen video of interviews with Trump's inner circle and graphic images of the attack. As public pressure mounts for more information...
It's going to be dry and hot mostly throughout the week outside of an isolated storm that could pop up for the afternoon with all the heat. Don't count on it, though, to cool you down. Do count on the heat, where it could be quite excessive again tomorrow. In the morning, a muggy 80, and in the afternoon, in the middle 90s. Feel like temperatures back to about 105, 110. Slight chance there'll be a storm tomorrow afternoon. Most of that should be repeated again by Wednesday afternoon. The lower to mid 90s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Louisiana Fun, Sugartown Sweet. Live entertainment, a melon eating contest, watermelon relay race, an antique tractor show, a watermelon 5K fun run walk Saturday at 6 a.m. Food, crafts, kids games, and activity tents, $5 each. Three and under get in free. Free admission with military ID. Louisiana Fun, Sugartown Suite, Beauregard Watermelon Festival, Thursday through Saturday, June 23rd, 24th, 25th, at the Beauregard Parish Fairgrounds, DeRidder. Visit louisianatravel.com to plan your visit today.
Hi, I'm Huck, an active Christian who loves Louisiana. One of my goals is to bring Louisiana's education from 50th to number one.
And I'm Dave. I'm not afraid of government bureaucrats. I fear God. Our rights and freedoms come from Him.
This is Liberty or Lockdown. Please join us on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM and WGSO.com.
Hi, I'm Roz. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. for Roz and the Rocks, where we will mix it all up with cocktails and conversation with area persons of interest. Stay in the know as we discuss upcoming events, personal stories, cocktail recipes, and shake-up drinks, all during our Thirsty Thursday show, Roz and the Rocks at 1 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
This game, do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your comments and questions to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Rudy Cicchini.
Welcome, everybody, to the Monday edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. And don't forget, you can download the Mixlr app. It's free, no ads, and you can listen to us there also. We're back from the weekend, and Rude, you have a good weekend?
Had a weekend, buddy. Had a weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. Didn't really do too much. It was kind of hot, and it's really hot today. So
yeah,
if you don't have to go outside, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. I know I was actually just before we started, I was looking at the weather app on my phone because it said it was 95, the temperature outside here. But with the humidity, it's 105.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal out there, man. I mean, I went and brought the trash cans back in from the street, and I actually was like drenched in sweat just from doing that. So if that tells you anything.
Yeah, well, we also we have an air advisory here, and because the there's, and this happens usually about every year about this time, but the Sahara desert, I guess, blows a dust storm, and the dust is in the air, and it somehow makes its way to southeast Louisiana. So on top of the heat, we've got that going also, which is nice.
Yeah, that's probably a real pain in the ass for people that have asthma and stuff like that.
Yeah, my asthma doesn't really bother me too much here. I had more problems, honestly, living up there than I did down here. Allergies and, you know, sinus and asthma and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I know plenty of people that do have it, and, you know, this is where they're born and raised, and they have issues, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But yeah, man, it was a good weekend for sure. We went to Barn Hill Preserve in Ethel, Louisiana on Saturday for Sips with the Sloths. And if people haven't made it to Ethel, Louisiana to go to Barn Hill, I highly recommend it. It's really cool. It's not very big, but they have a lot of cool stuff. And I think kids for sure would love it. What we did was there was a wine tasting mixed with obviously with the sloth, and you got to get your picture taken and hang out with her. Her name was Lily. But really cool. They have a kangaroo habitat, and you get to go in with them, and they're just bouncing all over the place. And learned a lot of interesting things about kangaroos, but I would highly recommend taking the family. I think they're going to do coming in a few months, they're going to do swimming with penguins, which is pretty neat. And I know they do picnics with giraffes and all kinds of cool stuff, but yeah, they've got some hyenas, they've got parrots, they've got let's see, they had some lynx and owls and all kind of camels. They had a couple camels, and it was cool. We stayed the entire time. They actually had to kick out Brenda and Jesse because it was time to go. You ain't got to leave, but you can't stay here, type of a deal. But it was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I really didn't know what to expect. But yeah, man, it was pretty darn cool. Something that I would do again for sure.
Sweet. Yeah. I'd like to check that out next time we come down. What did the toes look like on those camels, by the way?
I didn't get a good look. They weren't wearing any jogging,
right. Tights. They had some Crocs on, right? You couldn't really get a good look. Okay.
No, I couldn't. Gotcha. I couldn't tell.
Gotcha.
But yeah, man, it's out there. It's out in the middle of absolute nowhere. Which, when we were on the drive up there, I mentioned to Mike, I'm like, I've never seen so many. You know, you'll see like what I would assume would be about $100,000 house, or maybe a little more. You might see two or three in a row, and then you'll see just an absolute shack, and then you'll see another $100,000 house right next to it. I'm like, why in the hell, like? They look like they were uninhabitable, but there was definitely people living in them, and there's tons of it. I'm like, how in the hell does that happen? That you get these nice, look like new homes, and then you have what looks like something out of a horror film next to it. But I guess that's what you get when you get out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that in northern Illinois, like going up towards Iowa too, and it's kind of makes you shake your head. It's like, how does this happen? But, right. I guess that's just how it is now.
I mean, you would think like property value and stuff, that can't be good.
Yeah.
There was one house that we saw, I swear to God, it didn't, half the roof was gone, and there was somebody coming out of it. So somebody lived in it. I guess they just had a convertible.
hard times, man. Hard times.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool little, cool little place there, and at Barn Hill Preserve. And let me look it up real quick so I can give the website. I'll give them a free plug because they were really nice to us, and
I know really, the girls enjoyed the pictures you sent me, and that video of the kangaroo. I immediately thought of the kangaroo game for Atari that I used to play when I was, you know, 6 years old or whatnot, and the kangaroo would punch the crap out of you. And
yeah, I remember that.
That was a fun game.
Their website is barnhillpreserve.com, and well, I didn't know kangaroos go 40 when they run or bounce, whatever you want to say, 45 miles an hour, man. They're getting it.
Yeah, that's pretty quick, man.
So but yeah, I would recommend, if you, especially if you have kids, it's a great excursion, and everybody's very nice and very accommodating there. So check them out, barnhillpreserve.com. Yeah, and you know, it was pretty, if the whole thing was, I mean, we left there probably 9 o'clock and got there, started at 6:30, so it was, you know, it was pretty affordable. It was about $50 a person, and yeah, good time was had by all, for sure. So check it out. Yep. So all right, well we have a ton to get to. It's Monday, so we've got all the stuff that happened over the weekend. We've got NBA